Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Sunday Podcast. Myself and Matt today, so slightly different pod for you all. Merry Christmas to everyone who's celebrating this year. It's currently Boxing Day, so we just thought we'd put out a little podcast this week with no guests. We're going to run through some of the races that have been going on, but also we're going to talk about some of mine and Matt's best kind of performances and certain, like, almost a 2020 review in what's been a very strange running year. So how are you, Matt? You have a good Christmas?
Lovely, thanks, mate. I've just been for a cheeky run this morning to try and burn off some of that Christmas dinner. And I'm just sat here with a coffee, mate, where I'm going to remain for the rest of the day watching footy.
Yeah, perfect. Big treadmill session, though, later. Don't forget that one.
Yeah. I don't tell the listeners about that, though, mate. That's top secret, mate.
Yeah. We just expose other athletes' training. Can't talk about our own.
Yeah. That's exactly what we do.
I thought we'd start off with a little, like, race recap. I think we jinxed it a bit a couple of weeks ago. We did our little race review because it was return to racing, and then it's all kind of quietened up again.
Yeah, it's a real shame, mate. I was due to race tomorrow, actually. Kind of glad I'm not, because after my Christmas dinner yesterday, I don't feel like running. I don't feel like racing. But yeah, crikey, we were speaking to Zach last week, or Whiteman as well. There was a 5K supposed to be last weekend, cancelled. Milton Keynes, and then obviously a 5 mile tomorrow as well, been cancelled. So it's all changed. Tier 4 is in. Third or fourth lockdown is coming. What's your thoughts, mate?
Yeah, I mean, it's not, the future's not looking great for the running season, but obviously I think there's more important things sometimes. But we'll see. Hopefully some people can put on some safe meets. I think they've proven it can be done. It just depends at what level that happens and how.
But you know what?
Now,
yeah. If there's one good thing which has come out of COVID, it has been the ability. It seems like more and more people are wanting to put on race meets, and more and more people are putting on successful race meets. Which is good. So usually you rely on, Jesus, you know, through the summer we'd be relying on, like, I don't know, BMCs and Watfords. BMC obviously did put a few on, but then we see more, you know, independent clubs, you know, and just certain people just putting on race meets up and down the country. And I think we're going to see that more and more. And obviously when me and you talk about the recap in a sec, you know, you look at races like that Marathon Project and stuff, and out in the US, it's just races popping up all over the place, done safely, and it's almost in a different kind of format as well, almost just attracting elites to these races, because obviously they haven't been able to have the masses during COVID. I wonder if that format will continue, man. You just get, you know, elite only fields. Do you think that's good for the sport?
I think in this country it's really good. I'll get onto it later when I talk about some of, like, we're going to talk about, like, one of them, like, which meet we think was the best. Yeah. I think it's just showing that in the UK, we've got such a depth of talent in distance running that actually, if we put on our own good meets, people don't need to go and travel to Europe. Because if the only option is for them all to come and race at the same meet in the UK, because that's the only meet that's on, they're stacked.
Yeah, man. And it just boosts competition as well. Boosts head-to-heads. And I think you just get, you know, runners just wanting to clash against each other and race each other more and more. I think that can only be a good thing. Is in our sport, unlike pretty much all other sports, the mass running is huge. Mm. And at major events, that does sometimes overlook the elites. Mm. You know, that is more of an attraction and a bigger thing than the elite running. So I've been quite impressed how just, you know, almost like elite only races have been. I hope they're there to stay.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think we definitely need more of a balance. Like, we need both. We can't just have.
Yeah. Yeah. We need both. Yeah, exactly.
It's just so good that it attracts the best runners in the UK to actually race at the best race in the UK rather than feeling like they need to go abroad. And also hopefully it means, like, obviously after COVID, people will be coming to the UK to race rather than going other places in Europe and thinking they have to. And the same way that's like, it's almost like the BMC almost had a monopoly before. And now, like when they kind of weren't willing to put on meets, other people were, and people realised that there are other races out there, and you don't have to go to the BMC Grand Prix and pay £15 to walk in and then your entry or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then pay £10 per spectator that comes with you.
Yeah, I know.
There's other options.
And I just think it will just boost elite running, though, man. The competition is going to just be... it's like everyone wants to watch, like, you know, mate, Manu and Leicester playing today, Chelsea, Arsenal playing this evening. Everyone wants to watch that. And in a running world, if we can keep that elite competition involved in the UK, I think it's only going to be better rather than, you know, people just, you know, going to Europe. Europe's fun and everything, but the actual to boost the sport in the UK, I think that's what they had back in the day. And that's, you know, you just get more club runners involved in actually watching races instead of just caring about their own performance then.
Well, look at like meets like Highgate have been going on a few years now. Like the amount of people that actually go and just to spectate. Whereas I feel like other races, I'm not just like trying to have a go at the BMC here, but I feel like take a BMC Grand Prix, you don't get fans turning up. You get the athletes, maybe their parents, maybe a girlfriend, boyfriend, and the athletes themselves watching the other races while they compete. You don't get people who are just like, oh, this is one of the best meets in the country this weekend. I'm going to go and watch. Really? Like, in general, that doesn't really happen. Whereas, take Highgate, I think a lot of people would have gone to watch Podium this year because of the lack of races. Like they were saying you can't have spectators. Take that Bromley Twilight meet, I think.
Yeah,
people wanted to go down there, things like that. Like, it's just got a lot more kind of, I guess, like European or American feel about it in terms of like the fans and stuff like that.
The more events like that you're going to get, just the better it's going to be crowd-wise. Absolutely. And more local events. You know, you're seeing local clubs putting on races for their local athletes. And I think that's a good thing as well, because it's almost the community will grow in that sense. But mate, let's recap that marathon then.
Yeah, so that marathon project looked pretty cool, to be honest. How much of it did you get to see?
Man, not a great deal. I figured out it was obviously it's a lap course. Where else in America? Arizona? Phoenix or somewhere?
No, I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah. Somewhere nice. Really. I think it was Arizona somewhere nice and warm.
I'll double check.
Somewhere nice and warm, and it was just, again, we're seeing another marathon course where lapped. And here's another thing, mate. What I was saying about obviously more people putting on races, they've stuck on a race out there. I think you're going to get more and more faster courses cropping up because people aren't just setting for races which already exist now.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? Like, even athletes, like, I can't remember the name of the lady, but an American lady spent her own money, American professional spent her own money, $10,000 or something, to put on her own race. Just an attack, an American 10-mile world record or something.
Wow.
The world record, was quite weak or whatever. But, you know, because she would get prize money for that in excess and it would boost her profile or whatever. But she was willing to pay her own money to put on her own race.
Yeah.
And like you say, coming out of COVID, I think we're going to see this pretty much. Next year is still a bit of an uncertainty race-wise. So I think we're going to see this more and more and more. And athletes just going, you know what? That track's fast. This section of road's fast. I'm happy to do 10 laps of a 1K loop and get a cracking 10K time or something like that, you know? And I think people aren't going to settle for the races which used to already exist.
Mm.
They're just going to go and make their own now just to attack fast times. So I feel like it is almost a new era we're going into. You know, the shoes as well, but I feel like the shoes have obviously helped massively, but I'm saying in these marathons, this marathon project, this course didn't exist last year. And they did run super quick, like where the blokes wrote 209, five Americans sub 210. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's better than any American marathon major result ever.
Yeah.
With the most American sub 210. And that was in one race. And I think, like you say, going into Olympics and stuff and going into, you know, an uncertain season race-wise, I think we're going to see more and more races. People are going to stay close to home and pick out routes at home they're comfortable with. They can, you know, wake up in their own bed, You know, go down to a local fast track that they know and put on meets, or a local fast stretch of road, and just happy to do laps. So I think it's going to be a good thing. It's going to be a good thing. But I do think the standard is just, it's almost, you can see it happening in front of us. Everyone is just almost in the elite scene in the UK anyway, egging each other on, and just chasing. You know, we've seen a lot of time trials as well. And that's almost to the fact where everyone just wants to, I feel like it's going to be a real sort of scrap for times this year.
Yeah, you're right. It was Arizona. Just double checked, so we're not putting out false information for you listeners.
I'm never wrong, mate.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, like you say, like seven men under 210, and I think, yeah, you compare that to like Boston or Chicago, and
yeah,
it's and the fact that it's pretty much, I think it's all Americans in the field as well. So
yeah, these are pure Americans. There's no Kenyan.
And it is interesting because like you think about. I don't know. I guess the history and that kind of lures you in with some of those American majors, in terms of like wanting to do those events. But for me, if I was obviously not a marathon runner, but if I was going to do one, because you can probably only do one or two a year, I wouldn't want to go and do one on a doggy course. I'd want to go and run fast. I wouldn't care if it was laps. I'd want to go and run fast because you can kind of go really hard.
Well, this twice a year, mate. Yeah, this is almost the era we're getting in now, though, where times is such a focal point in the sport, though. You know, places almost are beginning to not mean as much in running.
Yeah.
And I accept it like a major championship. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but
yeah, it's interesting. I mean,
you know, because you speak to anyone, like me and you, obviously, we know a lot of people on the circuit as well. Like, you speak to anyone, you could go out there and beat anyone, and people would just still be like, oh yeah, but he's better than you. He just had a bad day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
It's just growing and growing and growing. It's just becoming so much more time orientated.
Yeah. I think it's almost it is factors a lot more like kind of the lower down you get. I think as when you look at the top athletes, because their PBs are all so similar, the placings mean a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas like further down the field also like further down the field, because the kind of spread of athletes gets wider in the similar time frame, you're not racing everyone. So you have to compare it based off times. And I think that's like you say, that's where these courses are coming in, because now it's not so much like, oh my, because track was different, but now it's like, it's not so much my road PB is this, but it wasn't that great a course and things like that, because the courses are getting fast.
Yeah.
And you can't really moan because people are starting to all do these fast road races.
Yeah. I mean, I think time wise is good, because like I said, I think it's really boosting the not only the elites, but I think for like the sub-elite scene is growing as well here in the UK. You know, we're starting to see a lot more boys, you know, mine and your sorts of age, 24, 25, where probably they wouldn't be running, you know, anymore in old terms. But I feel like it's growing again, and there's a resurgence building. And that's because people are being interested by times, you know. People are wanting to go and attack a 10K time. Yeah, they're wanting to go run sub 31, sub 30, sub 15, you know, for 5K, stuff like that. But it is, you know, that's why I was saying it's good that more races are cropping up, because I feel like cold hard racing was lacking in this country for the past 4 or 5 years.
Well, I think you talk about like we're talking about road times quite a lot, because that's obviously been a big factor in COVID. We had a lot of road races rather than track.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
you look now, and before this year, if you had your 5K road PB, you're running at Armagh. Pretty much nowhere. Like, yeah, maybe like podium before, but obviously it wasn't as probably stacked in depth. And
yeah,
like a couple other races. But like now, you're getting 5K road races popping up every couple of weeks that a lot of like top quality, like sub-elite athletes are actually turning up to, because there's not other races on. Whereas before, you might get a lot of 5K road races going down, but you're not getting like these fast winning times. But pretty much any road race you rock up to up and down the country that pops up now, there's someone decent there, or a good handful of people who are like very decent athletes there, because there's not the spread, like the races that they can pick and choose from. So they're just getting out and getting something under their belt.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man.
Yeah, just on a marathon project though, yeah, that women's performance from Sarah Hall, pretty insane, like backing up her run in London.
It's like, crazy to think that, Sarah Hall, what's she run in London? Pretty much 220 or 222. And then in that one again, the same. But it's crazy to think she won't be going to the Olympics, mate. The Americans have already had their trials. Trials are done, and then they will compete in the Olympics, 18 months after their trials?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she is the lady in form at the moment in America, but, yeah, she won't be going to the Olympics for America.
Yeah, I guess silver line, she can concentrate on breaking 220 instead, but obviously it must be pretty bad luck for her, like, to not be able to go. She's been coached by Ryan Hall as well, so... good to see that he's kind of transitioning his experience as well.
Yeah. Any fans of the sport out there, go check out Ryan Hall, because he's a good story, isn't he, Long?
Yeah, definitely. As an athlete and then kind of what he's doing now. So it's, for people who don't know, Sarah Hall's husband used to be pretty decent.
Half the guy's gone from...
as well.
Yeah,
he's got a good flow track documentary out there as well. I won't tell people they want to listen if they want to go and watch that. I used to get Matt and I pretty gassed in when we were like second year of uni. Watch it probably 4 or 5 times a week.
Well, he was like the first real American to just break through.
Yeah,
like onto the marathon scene. Like non African, if you like, where the Africans have been dominating so much. He just came on the scene, just bam, sub-60 half, and a sub-205 marathon was just almost unheard of for a non-African. He's got a real good story. And look at him now. He must have gone from like 55 kilos to, Jesus, probably like 90 kilos after his running career. But it's a good 90 kilos. It's huge.
On Nick Simmons' YouTube channel, him and Nick Simmons raced over 4 miles.
Really?
In their current states on the road.
Who? What?
Simmons outkicked him.
What?
Yeah. It's funny. That. It's funny. That's no a good way. Watch as well.
Yeah.
And they're like 6 minute miling.
Simmons. Yeah. Nick Simmons is a good watch. Where if you want to know the sort of how athletes earn money in the sport.
Yeah. He's like really honest about it. That's what I like. He doesn't kind of dress it up. And he's just loving life now, doing like other sort of kind of exercise and things like that. He does a lot of CrossFit, does a lot of challenges. Like he'll try and break world records for dribbling, basketball, stuff like that.
Yeah. He does a couple episodes on like his most earnings in a year in track and field and stuff like that. Nick Simmons was, second in the world champs in 2013. Over 800 meters, and it is interesting for people who are in the sport and wonder how elites make their money. I know like Wyman and Zach touched on it briefly, but it is quite interesting. I think even Simmons's best year, he said after his tax agency fees and stuff like that, he was still only like a take home 150k, which obviously is heaps, but you compare that to other sports stars.
Oh,
football,
yeah.
Like basketball, it's a drop in the ocean, you know? And then Simmons also, he makes a good point about how he goes so long. You know, when you're a runner, like he may peak and take home 150K 1 year, but he's had 5, 6, 7, 8 years before that where he's, just about getting by.
Breaking the barrel.
And having to put in so many sacrifices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got his training published as well from 2012. When he
that's good.
At the Olympic final, so you run, he gives you the whole year up until the 2012 Olympic 800 meter final.
That is good, by the way, he's a
people who,
big he's not sponsoring us to say that.
No,
we're just saying that as fans,
We're hoping he's listening, then he'll come on the podcast.
Yeah, we are hoping that.
Yeah, anyway, not much more to say race-wise. Like, there was a few meets in the UK. Like, I shouted out Scottish Athletics a couple weeks ago. I think they had another cross-country race that went down. Just, like, fair play getting them on. Same with Athletics Northern Ireland. They put on, there was a 10K on the track. They put on maybe last weekend. So,
is this where Sean Tobin ran?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was a good standard, man. 28 minutes for Sean Tobin.
Yeah, 28:30. And then Brian Fay, 28:41. So it's not like he's just out there on his own. Like, fair play, just putting meets on.
Yeah. Well, mate, were we saying this last year as well? I think we might see more. I think track might become more year round as well.
Yeah, we mentioned it. Yeah. I think that'd be good.
Because I think we're going to start seeing people attack 10Ks. Because realistically, you are in good shape for a 10K this time of year. So I think we might see more people, bar the weather, more people attack 10Ks and stuff, sort of December, January time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it depends what like sort of running you are. Because I think for some people, like, it might appeal more than going and doing cross country as well. Depends.
I missed the cross. Bad news, nationals is cancelled. That was a couple of weeks ago that got announced, but yeah, I just want to see some cross country back, man, and mass cross country. So good league matches, nationals, good. Any counties,
it's hard, really. I don't know what they're gonna do about cross, but I mean, if they can put on these road races, I think they're just gonna have to put on some sort of short course that can be one lap, so people aren't.
Do you know what, mate? I almost feel like, you know, as a governing body, you know, British Athletics, England Athletics have really, that's for me what I was saying, a positive about COVID is more people taking it in their own hands to put on events. Our governing body has just, to me, they've been lazy. They've been lazy. They haven't even bothered to try and put on an event safe, you know. A lot of these independent people, like the one in Milton Keynes, they're putting on an event. Okay, they have to cancel it and send out a load of refunds. Okay, but at least they are trying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, England Athletics, they've been lazy. The same with British Athletics, you know, and they haven't put on an event. Jesus, the Nationals is supposed to be end of Feb, March, man. Why couldn't you just say, look, 40 people, you know, run around a muddy field. Crikey. Football's still going ahead. I know COVID is bad. But, you know, I cannot see people.
I did see they've got the young athletes cross country going down.
Yeah.
Are really, really good to get like the top youngsters so they're still not missing that cross season.
Yeah, under 17 years and stuff. Important
part of development. So certain people like that, like, just shout out to anyone. Shout out to Podium. I always shout out Podium. But, like, people, anyone who's putting on your own meets or even trying to put on your own meets, like, just massive shout out, I think, from all athletes in the UK, because it's, I think, really appreciated from everyone. Just people.
But, yeah. I just wanted to make a point that, you know, the government has not done much to even help these meets out or even, you know, try and put something on themselves. You know, this is a government body. Why aren't they saying, look, we'll open nationals up to 40, 50 people, get tested 72 hours prior. Jesus, soon you're going to be able to fly to America and get tested, you know, 2 days before you leave. You know, travel's starting to open back up. Things is, you know, I just think it's crazy. And it's a shame for the athletes.
Yeah.
But like I say, the positive is that we're not relying on our governing body anymore, and there's people out there who are taking their own initiative, and I think that is only a good thing. The less we have to rely on the governing body, and just do, you know, we can just do stuff as athletes, as communities, as clubs, it is better.
Yeah,
in my opinion,
100%. I mean, that wraps us up for a bit of an end of part one. We're back in part two where we're going to talk about kind of Man Eyes, like, favorite moments or best performances from 2020 season. So we'll catch you in part two.
Sweet.
Right, guys, part two then. Man Eyes gonna run through like a few, we like set up some little categories we wanted to go through, give you an idea of what we thought were some of the best things in terms of athletics that happened in 2020, or maybe personal favorites for us. And we kind of discuss the ones between us and what we chose and kind of why. We'll kick off with best meet. Matt, you want to go first? What do you think was the best meet that went down in 2020?
Right, so as we were just saying, you know, there was lots of meets in a different format and stuff. For me, I'm just going to go off the most exciting race. The most exciting race I watched in 2020, if you have not watched it, was the men's 3,000 meters in Rome. Jakob Ingebrigtsen against Jacob Kiplimo. 7:26 Kiplimo ran. I think Jakob was very close behind, 7:27, something like that. For me, that was a great race.
Yeah.
Really, really good race. And that almost, that's when Kiplimo came on the scene. I mean, quite a few people knew of him already. You know, he second in the World Cross behind Cheptegei. And stuff like that. But they didn't realize how good he was going to be. He came on the scene. And I remember even after that, I said, you watch Kiplimo, will win the world half. He just looks so good. And then, you know, a month later or so, yeah, took down Joshua Cheptegei in a bit of an upset at the world half.
Yeah.
So for me, that was the meet of the year. Obviously, you have Monaco, which would probably come a close second for me as well. Because anyone who knows, you know, track and field, Monaco is a highlight of the year, basically.
Yeah.
100%. It's the Champions League final.
Yeah. Monaco is always class. I went a bit of a different route, and I think probably reflects what we're saying in part one. I'm going to say the first podium 5K was the best meet of 2020 for me. Like, I just thought the fact that we got, first of all, we got a massive number of runners.
Yeah.
But we got to see a massive number of runners running fast and just racing again in the UK. I think it was like probably the marker of return to racing in the UK, really. Yeah. The first podium 5K when it went down. But then at the same time at the front, we saw like a fantastic race with like super, super depth. Mark Scott ran that 5K road British record. Alex Yee ran rapid. Loads of guys ran sub 14. And I think, yeah, like for me, it was just great to see racing back in the UK again. Yeah, like I'd have loved to have done it, to be fair. Like, kind of just didn't fit in with where I was at the time, coming back from some injuries before. But yeah, like it was just great to see, really. And I just saw everyone on Twitter just getting so hyped about racing. And I also mentioned this meet in the first half as well. But yeah, shout out to that Bromley Twilight, because that 3K looked stacked as well. And I think that proved kind of the point we were making earlier, just about how racing in the UK can be really, really fast. Because that was super quick. But yeah, so two slightly different ones from me and Matt, but like I think both great meets for different reasons. Matt, what is the favorite shoe you've worn in 2020? Because we love talking about shoes on this podcast.
Favorite shoe was probably going to be these Adidas's. One reason. Just because it looked like, you know, when he wore them at the World Half, they're my favourite shoe, because we're starting to see an even playing field again.
Yeah.
And that's, as a fan, that's all you can ask for me. We're starting to see an even playing field again, and that's just, you know, that's encouraging for me. So that would probably be my favourite shoe, mate. Favourite shoe I've worn. You know, I'm guilty. I've been slagging off the shoes, but now I've joined them. I've got the Next Percents. I've worn them. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Done a 5 mile and a 5K in them. Loved them. And I've got the Dragonflies as well. I can't wait to wear them. I have not worn them, but I do think that may well have been my favorite shoe. So, yeah.
Yeah, pretty similar for me. Like, I was going to say, yeah, in terms of, I love seeing the Adidas kind of even the playing field up and like prove to like a lot of people that, yeah, all these companies are getting there now. Personal standpoint, I'll probably say the Alpha Flies, just because they are, if you haven't like held a pair or like put a pair on, they're just crazy. They're just a mad shoe. Like, some people prefer the Next Percent, fine, like whatever you like. But if you put on the Alpha Flies, they just feel ridiculous. Like, I feel like I could dunk in them, and I'm 5'9". So yeah, they're mental. But then the Dragonflies as well. Like, I have worn mine for a couple of sessions, and they are cruisy. And I can't wait to kind of race on the track and be able to wear them, because at the end of the day, like we're talking about all these road racing stuff, but Man, we're track runners. We want to get back on the track and want to rip some track races in Dragonfly. So
expensive hobby though. Expensive hobby.
I mean, yeah, you say that, but I'm trying to justify it to myself. I'm just comparing it to other sports. Like we were doing triathlon or cycling, like other endurance sports. Like we'll be spending $3,000 on a bike. So spending, I don't know, 130 for Dragonflies, 260 for Alphaflies. It's not horrible.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling myself anyway. Right. More of a personal question. And right, what's the favourite run you've done this year, Matt? / Ooh. Route.
Oof.
You got a different experience to me. You've been away this year, so you got to pick it a bunch.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to get away. I would probably say favourite run. I saw my Instagram actually. Me and Zach we were in Florida in Tallahassee, and we went to Georgia Hills, and that is probably my favorite run. It is, you're running on like a real firm clay, a yellow clay, and it's just rolling hills. My favorite run for two reasons: scenery, and like the route is banging, and the place is banging. And secondly, it's my favorite run because when you conquer it, like I think we did 15 miles. And well, we were there for a month, right? And we did four long runs, you know, every Sunday or whatever. I did one 15 miler and literally I was ruined after that. I couldn't get near it again because it's just so humid, so hot. Like I say, the rolling hills, you're never running on a flat, you're up, you're down. It's just a really, really challenging run. So, you know, everyone would have had it. You know, when you get back from a run, you're just like, crikey, man, I'm so pleased with myself. I did that. Like you just got that real sense of satisfaction. And that's probably mine. I want to go back there and just conquer it a little bit more because I do feel like it defeated me towards the end of the trip.
Yeah, that showed when you were coming back, mate.
Yeah. but that's what happens when, you know, I was running with Zach, so I was just setting off way too quick.
Yeah.
Just the last like 4 or 5 miles would just be absolute agony. But so when you conquer it, it just feels such a good feeling.
Fair play. Yeah. For those of us who aren't as lucky enough to get away, I'm just going to shout out a Taff Trail. So anyone who's like in around Cardiff,
beating up the Taff Trail.
Yeah. Anyone who's in around Cardiff, like you'll know running on a Taff Trail. If you don't, get yourself down there. Like it's great. You see loads of runners out there all the time as well, which is good to see. But like the amount of miles I put on the Taff Trail over like during lockdown, crazy. And yeah. Shout out Josh Lunn for a lot of 8 mile runs on the Taff Trail. Same loop round the farm and back. That's probably my favorite one I've done. Just half of it's out of like I had to necessity, but it's also a great run. Like I do enjoy it. And like you came down for one of the summer with me and Ed, and you can knock out decent like 15. As well, you can go as far as you want, really. It goes on forever, pretty much.
Yeah, tough leap you had me do that day. It was like 7 miles uphill and then 7 miles downhill.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, shout out to Taff. Best British performance. I've got like two answers for this, but I'm kind of bending the question a bit. So you can go first if you want, man.
Oh, mate, for me, J1, 100%. 329 and 1500, I think that is sensational.
Yeah.
You know?
My best performance, Whiteman 329.
Yeah.
But then kind of when I thought about the season, I'd go Mark Scott.
Yeah.
Like just because he ran
rapid. Yeah, had a really good season.
Rapid 5K, track and road, rapid half. So yeah, I'll go Whiteman for my best performance. Yeah. I agree. 329 is unbelievable. But yeah, I think in terms of like a year, Mark Scott's had a fantastic year.
Yeah. Yeah, he has. And geez, we're going to talk about those boys next week in the preview for 2020, 2021. Jesus. But yeah, you could just talk about like their performances all day, really. But yeah, that's Defo, the Whiteman. Yeah, Mark Scott had a great season. He's going to be one to watch next year.
Yeah.
But Whiteman sub 330 is something else.
Yeah. Then on the women's side, I'm gonna go. Yeah. I think Gemma Riki like 157 800 indoors. If I had to go for a bunch,
And she also remember that. It was fans then.
And she, but she also had a great season in general, like indoors as well. She went through 1500 in four flat en route to 417 mile. So it's a shame she didn't manage to go under four, like when she did 1500s in the summer. But you've got to think she obviously could for the 50. She could go sub four for the 15, which is for a woman is a serious time.
Well, it's a barrier, yeah, big barrier for them. Yeah, I'd back you up with that, mate.
She had a lot of wins as well. Just like winning.
Although, Laura Waitman.
Yes, that's a great shout.
Big performance in Monaco. I don't want to talk about it. She's quicker than me over 3K, so I don't want to talk about it.
Good. That's a good shout, Laura Waitman. Then best men's performance and women's performances of 2020 worldwide. Doesn't have to be a Brit. What'd you go for? I feel like I went for the obvious answers, but
what, Chep?
Yeah, so I went Chep and Gide and in the same meet.
Yeah, same meet. Yeah.
I think just that meet. I rated that meet as well, actually.
Yeah,
would have shouted that actually in earlier on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I think just the way they set it up. Put it on YouTube. Yeah. Everyone can watch it for free. And they said, we're going to run the world record in the women's five, the men's 10. They said they're going to do it. They went out and did it. Cheptegei 26.11, Gide 14.06. I think the fact for me about it, I loved the 5K in Monaco from Cheptegei, but it's a lot less running on your own once the pace is going.
Yeah.
The 10K though,
yeah,
got a lot of like serious, he had great paces. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But that Kenyan Kiplimo guy, Jesus, he's good.
The fact that he's just running a long way on his own and the focus he had.
Well, let's talk about that, mate. Let's talk about that. The wave light technology.
I think it's a massive help. Like,
you see what Beery said? Though,
rather than
Helen Beery said,
you can just switch off with it. Obviously, I haven't experienced it. Yeah. Where have we seen it before? We've seen it. They have it Highgate.
Yeah, I mean,
so they have it and in the UK as well. I don't mind it.
I've got mixed feelings.
Yeah, I'm a massive like advocate for it, but it doesn't like make me think, it doesn't count.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Helen O'Beery came out and said that she thinks it's just as bad as doping. She thinks it's cheating on that big of a scale. Do you remember, we would talk to other people in track and field, like when we used to talk to throwers and stuff, and they would say that pacemakers are cheating. They would say your times don't count because you had a pacemaker. So it is weird to see people's different perspectives on it who are outside the sport.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, see, it's interesting because I'm not that bit, like, I'm not that big a fan of, like, Kipchoge sub two.
No, because there was cars.
I think this is a bit different. I do have mixed.
But that didn't count as world record, and that was like a sort of a man v clock kind of vibe, like almost like a human race mission, if you like. As this, what Cheptegei is doing, is count as world records. I'm actually not a fan. And I know people say, look, the sport evolves, the shoes evolve, the track evolves, people get quicker. But one thing I do think is everyone who went before him didn't have it.
Yeah,
they didn't have the wave light technology. Yes, they had pacers, but they didn't have the wave light technology. And I think that's where we should start drawing the line. Because the next thing you know, you're not only going to get wave light technology, you're going to get some, soon you could see bikes pacing them, a bit like you're seeing cars and marathons pacing and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's going to get a bit silly then, but I loved the event. I loved how they put it on and they attacked the world record. It's a long time since we've seen that on the track where they put on events just for world records.
Yeah.
Like they used to do when, King Kenny was breaking records.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say it's a better performance than Bikili. Don't get me wrong. Like, whilst I loved it,
it's not.
I'm saying it's just not comparable. Like,
no.
And like, I think it was interesting. Bikili came out and said, like, obviously, I think he's going to say that. But he was like, yeah, they might take my records. But at the end of the day, I know for the era I was running in, I was the best of all time, and that's not going to change. And 100% true. But I still thought, for me, they're the best performances, men and women. Do you agree, or have you got any other?
Yeah, no, I do. I think yeah, same here, man. It was class to watch. Saying that, Jesus, that half marathon just a couple of weeks back.
Yeah.
You know, crazy. 57:30 for a half marathon. I think it's 4:22 mining or something stupid. Oh, man. But yeah. But the wave light, very mixed feelings about it. Just because, you know, no one else has had that before. And like you say, people don't have to think. They don't have to worry about hitting splits. And that's part of it, man. That's part of the mental game.
This year?
Huh? What?
Did they have it in Monaco this year?
Yeah, they had it in Monaco this year. Yeah, I mean, I do think it's going to be more and more tracks, which, you know, I think, you know, records back in the day, talk about Bikili, mate. Gosh, the guy ran 6K, certainly 5K, all on his own.
Yeah.
All on his own, front running, clipping off 63s.
Where the shift has been, though, because back then it was still more a case of winning races. Like we
that's what we were saying. Times are coming.
Don't get me wrong. Like, he's obviously physiologically capable of running that time. Like, he's running. It's another thing altogether. Having to concentrate on your
Mate, here's the thing. That guy who ran, what do you run, 2:09 on the treadmill for a marathon.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, stuff like that. Like, I don't want the sport to go too far away from where it was, from its natural, you know, just cold hard racing. And you know, once it starts drifting too far away, like stuff like that coming in. Don't get me wrong, guys run 2:09 on a treadmill for a marathon, crazy, well done. But I'm just like, oh mate, I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of it at all. You know, I'm just like, do it in a proper marathon. Why, you know, because I think we're going to get more stuff like this coming in. It just takes away, for me, it just takes away the actual, the respect, if you like, of an actual proper race.
Yeah, I don't mean it almost like tarnishes performances, because like,
on
YouTube, all this bloody marathon or whatever it is.
Yeah, it makes headlines. It makes the wrong headlines.
I know what you're saying. Whereas certain performances don't get any news coverage at all. But
So
last one, just before we end then, on our like little 2020 recap review, what was your favourite performance of 2020? So it doesn't have to be the best, just like which one did you, I guess, enjoy watching, thought was class, could be at any level.
Oh, crikey, mate. Crikey. But I enjoyed British Champs 800 meter final.
Okay, yeah.
Wightman Rowden, I thought that was really good. And when we talk about clashes, that was like a main clash of the British Champs, because like we said, a lot of people didn't do it. But them two, probably Britain's best 800 meter runners anyway, went head to head. And it was actually, you know, really good watch. And it was almost, you know when you get that tense feeling, it's like if you're watching a football game and it's a penalty shootout, you get that sort of tense feeling. I actually, you know, for you know, quite a long time, you don't get those watch that play, but I got that watching that AHME final. It's like, oh, who's gonna win, you know. And you were watching moves, so I'd probably say that was my best race. And anyone listening who doesn't watch the British Champs, like, you should definitely watch the British Champs next year. Because it's the Olympic trials as well in 2021 in Manchester.
And hopefully we can get fans there and things like that. Yeah. That's the thing. Mate, I'd love
me and you are funding. We're funding a bus, aren't we? We're funding a bus of fans.
Yeah, we're gonna have a podcast stand.
10 of our biggest fans will get a minibus and we'll pay for them to go and watch the British Champs in 2021.
Yeah.
You just gotta like and subscribe or whatever you do. Yeah. Yeah.
Disclaimer: We haven't actually finalized the details for that.
Oh, we have, mate. We have.
I'm gonna go with slightly different again. So I'm actually gonna go Mohamed for his Canadian record, 12:47.
Oh yeah, good shout, man. So there was a lot to choose from.
Yeah, for me that was like, I just remember being quite bored and like not being able to watch many races. And then I just see all these Bauman premieres going on YouTube, like, oh, right, we're putting his race on. It was getting me quite gas. And I just think that's a serious time. And I was just thinking, for me, I remember, Matt, me and you used to watch him NCAAs in like 2014, 2015, when he's probably like, I mean, he came like fourth in the five and the 10, similar like sort of things like that. He's like there, but never there really. Like he's getting kind of dominated by Cesarek and people like that, dominated by Shadi. But we used to love watching him as a college athlete because like Matt and I are big fans of like NCAA racing. Particularly when we were like a couple of years ago. I just thought that race was pretty cool. Like, yeah, it was one of those ones where it was set up a fast time, but I rated the way his teammates were just helping him slog it out. And if you watch it, he just looks like he is flying the whole way.
Yeah.
Very different to watching Chepsky run. Chepsky looks like he's kind of cruising the whole way. Mermed looks like he is absolutely moving. You can see how fast he's going. And it's just really interesting. Loved it. And yeah, I just thought it was a class run. And enjoyed
it was good. Yeah. He ran like a, what, sub 4 last mile? Or a 4 minute last mile or something.
I mean, the last 3K split was crazy. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, so I don't want to spout off random times.
Yeah.
I just remember it being ridiculous. And I just kept to that group. Like BTC, men's and women's, Jerry Schumacher, whatever he's doing, it seems to be working well. And with them guys, like obviously it's a different level to people putting on local meets in the UK, but for them guys, fair play, they just were like, right, there aren't any races, so we're just going to put on races. Our group's good enough that we don't need to invite anyone else. We're just going to race and help each other out. I feel like they had a different focus each week in terms of who the athlete was going to be, and they'd help that guy get a good time. But I saw, I think it was Gwen Jorgensen put out, originally it was just going to be time trials as well, but then they managed to get people from USATF to come and ratify the meet. So they could count as times, and they had to have, so like Mark Scott ran in them, who were mentioned on earlier, and like they had to have a certain amount of people actually finish the races, so they couldn't just start pace and then stop. Finished, so it was enough people in the race to ratify his Canadian record from Mermed and things like that, and just like good show of almost the team aspect of running, because a lot of the time it's every man for himself, but I think you've clearly got a good group of people if you're willing to like sacrifice your own like race
massively
to help out. Not they probably that was a choice if they're BTC, but I think from the outside looking in, it looks like they all do actually support each other quite a lot, and it looks like a good group atmosphere, but I wouldn't be able to say for sure.
You're kind of right in the way that almost kick-started the summer, I feel. Like the times coming out of their camp. And like you say, it was on, they're on YouTube to watch now. Bauman Track Club. Yeah.
But they did like 4x4, like mixed relays, like against each other. And like Jerry, the coach, was making teams as even as possible. So that,
I know. That was good,
Grant Fisher like ran down. Who was it? He ran down one of the girls on the last leg. It was just crazy race to watch. Just really exciting. Because they'd run like the 3K and then do like a 4x4 and a 4x8 afterwards. Or things like that. I can't remember exactly. But yeah, they're a good watch. So that's on the BTC YouTube page. But they're interesting race. And for me, that was, it was just good for to have something to watch, seeing as athletics wasn't really happening.
It was a boost. It was a boost, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that wraps us up for what we had planned. Anything else? Any notable mentions for 2020? Athletic season? It's been a weird one.
Yeah, one thing I would say is I just think the Olympics is going to be, because we haven't seen people this year. Mm. We've seen times and stuff, but because we haven't seen people this year, you know how you're almost going to an Olympic year and you're like, oh, okay, they won the world champs last year. Like they're in great shape. They're going to go to the Olympics. You know what I mean? Because we haven't had any of that this year, I feel like 2021 is going to be very exciting. I still think there's people out there who you didn't even see this year race. There's people out there who are almost, you know, training
may have been injured training.
That's the thing. I mean, don't know because you could.
No one knows. No one knows how they're doing. If you forgot about them. Yeah. So I still think it's going to be really exciting in that sense. Yeah. For 2021, it's going to be raw. If
you like. Yeah. And we're doing our predictions. Are we doing that next week? We decided.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll do a New Year's. That'll be New Year's Day. That'll be a New Year's Day special. Or the second of whenever. We'll probably film it on New Year's Day.
Yeah, so we'll do next week. We're going to predict for the distance races. We're going to predict kind of maybe the Brits who we think are going to go and maybe like who we think is going to medal overall in the Olympics. So,
if you listen to this and you want us to predict any other races, we can
see. Yeah, if there's any sprint fans out there, let us know. We'll try our best. I mean, yeah, we can predict it, but it might not be the best. I think we used to be better. I can say for me, I used to definitely be better on the sprints and even the jumps and stuff. When we were doing a lot of Fantasy Diamond League, I feel like I was on it.
Oh, Fantasy Diamond League was good, yeah.
But these days, I'm not up to date with it enough. I'll give my opinion, but it's just an opinion.
Might be like a four-year-old opinion, mate.
Yeah, that's the thing. I see these names that I recognise in the sprints. I'm like, oh, well, definitely them.
From like 3-4 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, righto.
Right, anyway, thanks for listening, guys. Hope you've enjoyed this slightly different podcast. And enjoy New Year's Eve or whatever is going down for that time of year. I don't really know what the rules are. I think it's just keep yourself safe.
It's just back to the grind. Everyone's just back to getting their runs in now. They haven't got no distractions. We're in lockdown. Get your runs in. Get the podcast on. You've got even more time to listen to it now. So get the podcast on and get your runs in.
Yeah. I don't know how long this one was, but Zachary requested, 56 minutes.
We're going to be near enough, mate. It's going to be close. So 56 minutes, 8 miles for Zachary.
Yeah, we'll see. He must have slowed his runs down a bit.
He has slowed the runs down. Well, I think that's his Friday run. So that's the day he
listens.
Yeah, takes very nice and easy. Yeah.
Right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, see you next week, chaps.